Welcome to Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. Conscious Talk is brought to you in part by Clear, the company spelled with an X instead of a C, because they're the xylitol experts. And by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Improve your digestive health naturally with Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And now I welcome your hosts for the day, Brenda Michaels and Rob Spears.
And good morning. It's a Monday. It's a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest, and we're finally having summer, and we're absolutely thrilled at that, and hope that wherever you are, you're enjoying your summer as well. And just a reminder, folks, I'm fumbling around here because I lost my paper, Rob.
Well, she lost her papers, but here's the thing, folks. So we want to remind you, if you will go to the events section of ConsciousTalk.net, you're going to find a number of things there. There's a great natural health series by Vitamin Life coming up shortly, this week. Krista Gibson, our own Krista Gibson, the publisher of the New Spirit Journal, has a class. And, you know, this is a great resource for a lot of those things that are going on in the Puget Sound area. So please check that out. And, just a reminder, we stay on the air because of our sponsors. You know, we're a commercial show on purpose so we can speak to you where you live. We know that so many of you are listening in your cars here, especially during drive time in the Seattle area. And, you can go to ConsciousTalk.net and check things out there. But please support those sponsors that are supporting us, allowing us to bring you all of this. Well, I just want to remind you that we will be right back.
Welcome to Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. Well, coming up this hour on Conscious Talk, you know that our minds and our brains are two different things, right? But did you know that your mind could shape your brain for greater happiness, love, and even for wisdom? Well, we'll talk to Rick Hansen, author of Buddha's Brain, to see how this may be possible. And now I welcome your hosts for the day, Brenda Michaels and Rob Spears.
And thank you, Benny, and welcome, folks, to another hour of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. We're reaching out locally, regionally, nationally, and globally, and we're changing the world one listener at a time. That's from the inside out, and that listener is you.
Well, we have run across a lot of books that have been bringing us a new way of looking at the way that we live our lives and how we handle tension and just the way our universe has been organized. Now, you know, the universe has been organized this way, but we're just kind of figuring this out because that manual, that elusive manual that we seem to have lost when we came here, we're starting to scratch the surface. And so here's another book, Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom by Rick Hansen. And this is one that, you know, really got our attention again because it follows through with so many of the themes that we have been talking about for the last few years.
And Rick Hansen is a neuropsychologist and a meditation teacher, and he is the co-founder of the Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience and Contemplative Wisdom, and he edits the Wise Brain Bulletin. Rick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's really an honor to be here.
So I think the first thing that we'd like to distinguish is what's the difference between the mind and the brain? Is there a difference?
Yeah, definitely. Well, in terms of neuroscience, there sure is. Basically, mind is generally defined as all the information. In other words, meanings, signals, data, memory, operations, skills, procedures, blah, blah, you know, stored in and operated on by the nervous system. It's like software and hardware. In effect, something physical, like your computer hard drive, represents something that's not physical, which is the meanings of the words in your Word documents or emails, the pixels in your photographs and so forth. It sounds complicated at first, but if you think about it, you know, just driving to work, you get to a stoplight, the red, yellow, green is physical, but the meaning it represents, the meanings of those colors are non-physical. Most mind is outside of awareness. Some people kind of think of a capital M mind, like cosmic consciousness. I'm fine with that, but how I mean it, and Western scientists mean it, it's inside a frame of Western science in which there's no presumed effect of any divine or spiritual or transcendental influence. Personally, I think there is, but I'm going to stay inside the frame of Western science. This means fundamentally that the mind essentially is what the brain does, which is really remarkable. And the flip of it, of course, to finish the point, is that the mind also shapes the brain. In other words, as the mind, as information flows through the brain, particularly what we're consciously aware of and attentive to, that leaves lasting traces behind, for better or worse, which gives us a tremendous power to change our brain ourselves, which is what I hope we can talk about today.
So do you mean that mind is consciousness? Is that what you're saying?
I think of consciousness, and scientists do, as a subset of mind. In other words, what we're consciously aware of and the ways in which the brain keeps us conscious and also lets us be unconscious, as when we're sleeping or anesthetized, all of that is based on operations of the nervous system. We privilege what we're aware of, but it's really just the tip of the iceberg, which takes us to the teachings of both, you know, psychologists like Sigmund Freud, as well as the great spiritual teachers, to make us really aware of what kind of seeds are we continually planting, you know, down there deep in unconscious processes that grow and affect us.
You know, when you were talking about the example of, you know, driving in your car and, you know, hardware, software, that kind of thing, I often like the big reminder for me is always those times where maybe your eye is off the road, you know, where the hardware isn't necessarily aware of what's in front of you, and all of a sudden you stop and then turn and see that you were going to, you know, bump into the back of someone. So that
right.
There's something else that's operating there, you know, using the hardware.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's like these practical ways. I agree with you. It's, you know, science has to look at things in one way, and then we tend to go just a little further out in our discussions of consciousness. So you start your book by saying, you know, when your mind changes, you know, your brain changes. And that really is the basis of what you're talking about in Buddha's brain. How exactly does that work? I mean, are you talking about actually being able to change, you know, the physiology of your brain?
Absolutely. For example, London taxi cab drivers, who have to memorize the twisty-turny streets of London. At the end of their training, a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which does visual spatial memory as well as kind of memory for context, it calms down stress responses, etc. Anyway, at the end of their training, the hippocampus is measurably thicker because they've built up neural tissues through practice. In other words, they've had to memorize images, and so as a result, they've in effect built a muscle in a part of the brain that does that function. Or a different example, people who have a long-term meditation practice, not a perfect one, but a significant one over time, build up both neural tissues in parts of the brain that are involved in controlling attention, which of course is what meditation is about, as well as build up neural tissues in parts of the brain. This particular part is called the insula, that tunes into the body as well as tunes into our own deeper feelings. The insula is very involved in self-awareness. It makes sense. You know, they use it, so they build it up. Those are just two examples that scientists are now discovering of the ways in which mental activity builds neural structure. It does it in a lot of ways. One is that busy regions get more blood flow because they need more supplies. Another is that busy circuits, if you will, get more sensitive, and new circuits form. I've seen electron micrographs of neurons reaching for each other, literally amazing, extending these little filaments toward each other to form new synapses, even within just 10 minutes.
So I guess on a physical level, what most of us, from time to time, we see people that say have some kind of neurological damage from an accident or, stroke or whatever, and then recover. And we know that the original pathways didn't work, or stopped functioning. And so what you're saying is that we do have that ability to pick different pathways, to actually perhaps even grow a different way of responding.
Right. And most examples of neuroplasticity, or what's called experience-dependent neuroplasticity, are much more modest than these dramatic cases of people coming back from, let's say, a stroke. Every time we learn something, I mean, simply remembering what you did last night around dinner time, obviously some kind of structural change has to occur. The breaking news really in this area is, A, the mechanism whereby new structures form, including through epigenetic effects. I know you're very knowledgeable about Bruce Lipton and his work on biology of belief. And for example, people who routinely practice relaxation of one kind or another, whether it's listening to Stephen Halpern or doing yoga or whatnot, they have improved expression of genes that control the stress response, and they become more resilient as a result. So the breaking news is how it happens, and the real breaking news, which is what I wanted to get into in my, in Buddhist Brain, is how we can use this through the power of the mind alone. In other words, strictly with not drugs or, other things, but with where we place our attention and what we do with what we pay attention to inside our own mind, how we can use the mind alone to change the brain, to change the mind for the better.
So I'm curious, when we're born, when we're children, and our brain is developing, say, from the womb and then birth outward, is our brain developing neural pathways from thoughts that our mother's thinking, do we know anything about that? How is that developed when we first come in, or are we developing that on our own?
Well, if I get you right, it's interesting. The brain starts forming circuits, basically, certainly by the third trimester, even midway through the second trimester. For example, the amygdala, which is the kind of alarm bell of the brain, reacts to things that are fearful. It also reacts to pleasant experiences, but it's probably about two-thirds of its cells are already focused on the negative. It's looking for bad news, unfortunately, because that's what kept our ancestors alive as we evolved. That's why there's what's called a negativity bias in the brain. Anyway, the amygdala is basically fully functional by around the seventh month in utero. This means that, in principle, fetuses can acquire, fears, inside their mom. Then afterward, sure, there's a combination. I mean, the child is an active agent. I have a background in developmental psychology. There's a growing appreciation of the ways in which infants and toddlers and preschoolers are very active in constructing their view of the world, and they have their own thoughts and feelings and their own will, as anyone who's raised kids like me knows. On the other hand, of course, we're very influenced by what happens inside the minds and therefore the brains of other people. Now, that influence, the way mom or dad, what have you, influences the child is through mom's dad's actions, tone of voice, mm-hmm. behavior, words, mm-hmm. Eye gaze, cooing, and so forth. There may be also some kind of more esoteric, outside the frame of Western science, direct transfer of communication from mind to child. To me, a truly scientific attitude is not to rule it out. But that said, there are already so many pathways of influence that occur in a more kind of down-to-earth sort of way.
Well, we're here with Rick Hansen. We're talking about his book, Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. Folks, there is a lot to learn here, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know where true immunity begins? Most people don't. Hi, I'm Dr. Ross Pelton, and I've been a registered pharmacist for many years. One question I'm most often asked is how to boost immunity to avoid illness. Most people are surprised to learn that good health begins in the gut, where over 70% of the immune system's cells reside. So having a healthy digestive system is critical for optimal health. I recommend taking a high-quality probiotic like Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system for good health year-round. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria, which works synergistically to maximize health and immunity. I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available anywhere. For strong immune health, take Dr. O'Hara's probiotics and accept no substitute.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Super Supplements, Whole Foods, Marlene's, and other fine health food stores. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Ugh, my breath needs some help. Can I get a piece of gum?
I don't have any. Here, try this.
What's that?
It's a spoonful of sugar. I've seen the gum you chew. What do you think it's made of? Sugar.
I don't buy bubble gum. I get the healthy gum.
And where do you buy it?
At the store, next to the register.
Right next to the candy bars and all the gummy stuff? Sugar, sorbitol, chemical sweeteners. You should try Spry. It's the gum sweetened with 100% xylitol.
What's xylitol?
Well, it's an all-natural sweetener. It doesn't just freshen your breath. Spry's the gum with proven dental benefits. It helps reduce the risk of tooth decay, builds strong enamel, relieves a dry mouth. This is serious gum, my friend. No sugars, no sorbitol, no garbage. Which means you won't find it in just any candy aisle. You will find Spry where it belongs, at fine retailers. And it tastes great. I chew it all the time.
But you don't have bad breath.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, my friend.
Oh.
Spry gum is part of the Spry Dental Defense System. Products that are 100% sweetened with xylitol taste great and are good for your teeth. You can find them at your local natural products retailer or visit SpryDental.com to find a retailer near you. Spry gum. Tastes great. Less fillings.
You're listening to Conscious Talk Radio, your roadmap to an authentic life.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com and save up to 50% on supplements or call VitaminLife.com to order at 866-998-8855.
You listen to us? Now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back to Conscious Talk Radio that makes a difference. And, you know, we have been making a difference here. Actually, you've been making the difference for 10 years now. You know, we just passed the month of our 10th year on the air here in the Puget Sound area of the Northwest. And we thank you very much for that. And thank you for supporting those people that support us, those sponsors. We do our best to bring you folks that are doing good business, as well as bringing you great products and the ones that we use. You know, we search for those things that are the best for us we can find, and we're so happy to have sponsors that actually can provide that. I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels. And we're here today with Rick Hansen, and we're talking about Buddha's brain. And that's the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. And I just have to ask, Rick, of all the contemplative religions out there, why draw on the Buddhist perspective and methods regarding the brain?
Sure. Well, for one, it's the one I know best. So, you know,
that's a good start. You know,
yeah. The other thing is that of all the, you know, all, how can I put it, all the world's religions have a contemplative wing. And even if you go outside the frame of religion into, you know, the secular world, you know, we've all been contemplative. Just looking up at the stars makes you contemplative, or holding your child in your arms takes you to a contemplative place, or knowing anyone personally who's passed away. You know, that can't help but take you to a contemplative place. So that's the broad picture. Inside that, gosh, the tradition that's had the most intersection with Western science, and so therefore there's been the most back and forth, has been Buddhism, probably because it shares common values with Western science. It doesn't ask people to take anything on faith alone, and it doesn't generally involve anything supernatural. It's also very pragmatic. I think it's a great Dharma question, as Dr. Phil's question. So, how's that working for you?
Yeah, right.
And results, for better or worse. And what I tried to do is bring it down to, what are you doing with your mind? Which means, mm-hmm. therefore, how are you changing your brain, you know, for better or worse? Because mm-hmm. let's remember, we change our brains often for worse. You know, if we get caught up in our grumbling or resentments or doom and gloom focus on life or self-criticism or beating ourselves up, we're changing our brain for the worse. You know, we're building up vulnerability to stress. We're making ourselves more anxious. We're, you know, locking in and focusing on small things rather than seeing the big picture because of the negativity bias in the brain. When we're negative, we tend to lock into some small part of the whole, just one tile in the whole mosaic. So to me, a big takeaway has been to be much more thoughtful and careful about and self-caring with regard to, you know, what I indulge in my own mind.
Mm-hmm. So on the practical level, since that's actually part of the title of your book, The Practical Neuroscience of Buddha's Brain, you know, of happiness, love, and wisdom, you know, we all want to be happier. We all would like to exhibit a little more wisdom. It seems to be a rare quality these days, although, you know, maybe not so much. But at any rate, how do we, now that we know that we affect this thing we call our brain, you know, with our mind, and that we have this bias toward negativity, how do we start moving in a direction of using these abilities in a more positive way?
Sure. Well, a couple examples there. pardon me. First, it's to appreciate that you really can make a change inside your own head. You know, I've been a practicing psychotherapist one way or another for about 35 years. And, boy, one thing I've discovered along the way is that a lot of people are just not on their own side, you know. So mm-hmm. one of the first places to start is to build up a sense of being for yourself, and a neurologically informed way to go in there is to start priming the pump, you know, warm up the circuits by just bringing to mind a sense of being with someone that you know cares about you and kind of hang out with that feeling so you feel cared about both with people in daily life today as well as maybe people from your past. And research has shown that if you start by feeling cared about, then you're more able to be caring, including toward yourself. So for me, that's a foundation practice right there. And then a second one that I use every day is what I call take in the good. You know, I even had a whole chapter on it because I think it's so important. In other words, to say it in a sentence, the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones. That's because of the negativity bias. So it reacts more intensely to the negative. It looks for the negative. And anything negative is stored immediately, right? Once mm-hmm. burned, twice mm-hmm. shy. You know, let's say you're in a relationship. We won't talk about with each other, but with anybody, let's say. You know, 20 things happen in a day, 10 are positive, 9 are neutral, 1's negative. What's the one you think about before you go to sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So to defeat that bias, it's very important to deliberately neuroscience, neurons that fire together, wire together. So you want to get those neurons firing together, so they wire together, and you weave those positive experiences bit by bit into the fabric of your brain and yourself.
And what you're really saying, I think, Rick, to a large degree, is that we have to desire to do this. I mean, otherwise we're like, you know, so much of our days are robotic in nature. You know, we get up, we shower, we drink our cup of coffee, you know, whatever it is, that habitual thing we do. We jump in the car, we race to work, we have our minds going a million miles a minute about what we have to get done in a day. So this is something that we really want to desire in our lives for ourselves, and that's really part of what you're talking about, being for yourself, because you made a really interesting comment about being a psychotherapist, and you learned that how we're not really on our side, in fact, how we really do argue for our limitations and for being less than.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, too, that for example, another thing I talk about is the importance of feeling strong and safe because, mm-hmm. you know, our ancestors that were cocky and, you know, just casual and all zen, they got eaten. They did not notice the shadows overhead about to jump, right?
Yeah.
The ones that survived to pass on their genes were nervous and paranoid and scared little critters. And so we're, you know, as well as cranky and irritable. And, you know, we're their great-grandchildren on top of the food chain with nuclear weapons. So anyway, we go through life, I call it paper tiger paranoia, you know, where you feel like the whole world is threat level orange, you know, and
right.
It's very innate in us, you know, and then that generic tendency that's hardwired is increased or shaped by both temperament, life experience, and culture. You know, we live in a time where, as throughout history, lots of people are, you know, trying to play on fear to, you know, gain or hold
mm-hmm.
on to political power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the net of it for me is to continually build up and look for an appropriate felt sense of strength and safety, not being foolish. It's important to see the real tigers out there. And it's important not to be grandiose about your strength. But there are lots of opportunities to feel strong and to appreciate that you're actually in a protected setting and you're all right right now. You know, the brain is continually generating this little trickle of anxiety that's fooling us. It's whispering in our ear like, you know, worm tongue in the Lord of the Rings, you know.
Right.
Right.
Or be afraid.
Yeah.
Be very afraid.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's lying to us. It's a great way to keep critters alive in the wild, but it's lousy for quality of life, for spiritual
yes.
practice, or making this world a better place. That's why I think continually helping yourself feel safer as you reasonably can, less braced, less guarded, less anxious. That's also
yeah.
a powerful practice.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when you were talking about how we, you know, the concept of being wired together, you know, how we create this these neurological effects, and once they're created, you know, they're there, you know, things stick.
Yeah.
And we have often said in the spiritual discussions, you know, where attention goes, energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
Is the converse true? I mean, is that essentially what you're saying, where the energy's flowing, then that also gets your attention because of our physiology?
Yeah, Rob, I think it's very astute. I mean, there are two kinds of attentional processes, basically. One is where our attention is sort of grabbed, you know, by
mm-hmm.
things, including,
yeah.
frankly, just internal stimuli. Most of the stimuli coming into the brain originate inside the body and inside the nervous system itself. So, for example, if we start finding ourselves, you know, thinking about, oh, you know, something from our childhood, let's say, or something we're worried about, did I turn the faucet off, what have you, that will grab attention. But the other
yeah.
is we have a lot of top-down control of attention. Attention's like a spotlight and vacuum cleaner. You know, it illuminates what it rests upon and then sucks it into the brain because
mm-hmm.
neuroplasticity is heightened for what we pay attention to. The problem mm-hmm. is most people don't have good control of their spotlight, right? And
right.
for many reasons, including the fact that today we live in a kind of ADD sort of culture, right? We're bombarded with stimuli. 10,000 things are grabbing at us all day long. You know, no wonder we have a skittery spotlight. That's why, you know, consistent with the spiritual traditions, it's a very important foundational practice to get some control of your attention so you can steady your mind. And where you rest that spotlight gives you tremendous power, you know, because what you rest it upon, you draw into yourself. you know, mm-hmm. in a way that's neurologically informed. It kind of is consistent with the teachings around, you know, that what you pay attention to, in effect, quote unquote, you're magnetizing to yourself.
Well, we're here with Rick Hansen. We're talking about his book, Buddha's Brain, which is the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. Stay tuned. There's more to come. We'll be right back.
If you're all stuffed up, try our nasal steroid.
Side effects include temporary burning, stinging, nasal dryness, sneezing, and addiction.
Oh, well, then buy our antihistamine.
Side effects include dry mouth, nose, eyes, sleepiness, difficulty concentrating, confusion, constipation, diarrhea, poor coordination, and heart rate changes.
Try a decongestant.
Side effects include nervousness, sleep problems, increased blood pressure, headaches, nausea, and respiratory infections.
Isn't there any nasal spray that's good for you?
Clear. Clear what? No, Clear. X-L-E-A-R. Clear saline nasal spray. Contains the all-natural ingredient xylitol, which moisturizes and soothes dry, irritated nasal passages and cuts down on the formation of those dry, crusty mucus particles. All natural means no side effects. Clear nasal spray not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, bacteria, and other airborne contaminants, making your nasal passageways all clear. Just one spray in each nostril twice a day, that's it. And because it's all natural, it's 100% safe for children and the perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right.
Clear nasal spray with xylitol at most natural products retailers and select pharmacies nationwide. You can visit clear.com, that's X-L-E-A-R.com, to find a retailer near you.
Award-winning SunSweet Naturals Suprafiber sets a new standard for fiber supplements. That's because Suprafiber uses high-performance whole food superfruits to provide a 100% natural source of fiber. Suprafiber starts with the legendary fiber from SunSweet Denore prunes, then adds other superfruits like pomegranate and acai for a blend that provides 5 grams of fiber per serving. That's 20% of the average adult's recommended daily value. Unlike other supplements that contain just one type of fiber, Suprafiber contains a balance of soluble and insoluble fiber, essential to receive all the important benefits of fiber. It's the only fiber supplement certified gluten-free. There are no preservatives, and it's without psyllium that might cause harsh side effects. Suprafiber's neutral taste means it's great in your favorite beverage or mixed with yogurt. Find Suprafiber at Super Supplements, Marlene's, Vitamin Shop, and other natural food stores. Learn more at sunsweetnaturals.com. Suprafiber, fiber the balanced, superfruit way.
You're listening to Conscious Talk, radio for the progressive thinker.
Are you looking for events, products, and people who can help you live a more fulfilling life? New Spirit Journal can help you find what you're looking for. New Spirit Journal is a print and online publication that offers original articles by teachers who want to share their knowledge with you. There are also event listings and advertising from people and organizations that are dedicated to serving others. And our website not only offers the full version of each issue, it also has an online calendar of events, audio interviews with fascinating people, and articles not seen in the print version. You can also sign up for our mailing list where you can receive inspirational emails as well as notices of various events and services being offered. Bring greater positivity and health to your life by visiting newspiritjournal.com. You deserve it. Take the time. Give this gift to yourself. NewSpiritJournal.com.
Improve whole health and energy with Propolis Plus, the newest product from Dr. O'Hara's line of award-winning supplements. This truly singular supplement fortifies your immune system with an exclusive formula of proven proprietary ingredients. Produced by honeybees, propolis is used to line their hive and protect it from bacteria, mold, and other pathogens. Brazilian green propolis is especially powerful due to the rare flora in the region where it's harvested. Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus combines this Brazilian green propolis with flax oil omega-3s, complete prebiotic and probiotic support, vitamin E, and astaxanthin. Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, power-packed to strengthen your immune system for optimum health year-round, or as a proactive boost during seasonal change, increased stress, or environmental challenges. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus is available at Super Supplements, Whole Foods, Marlene's, and other fine health food stores.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio, Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And we're back. This is Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. And I'm Brenda Michaels.
And I'm Rob Spears. And we're talking with Rick Hansen. He is the author of Buddha's Brain. And Buddha's Brain is about the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. And Rick, we've been talking about some of the physiology, some of the concepts that we explore here on this show and how it relates with your book. And one of the things that has really been up these days when you talk about Buddhism, et cetera, has been mindfulness. Now, this is obviously a concept that you explore in the book. So how do you look at that concept?
Oh, sure. Well, mindfulness is really big these days. I mean, probably as we are just talking here, somewhere in America in a Fortune 500 company, there's a training in mindfulness to help people with stress reduction, creativity, peak performance, managing others, et cetera, et cetera. Probably also a training happening right now somewhere in a hospital in the world, probably in many hospitals actually, related to mindfulness-based stress reduction. Classrooms, teachers are using it. So mindfulness is really increasingly being appreciated. The trick, though, of course, is how to be mindful, because we did not evolve a brain that's naturally mindful. So I actually have a couple of chapters related to becoming more mindful in general, as well as, if you're interested, having meditation or any kind of contemplative practice like prayer be deeper and more powerful and more effective for a person. I'll mention a couple of keys to mindfulness. One is to relax, because if we're keyed up, the brain naturally starts shooting that spotlight of attention all over the place to look for both threats and opportunities, you know, sticks and carrots. That's a key. And one nice way to relax that I'm kind of very fond of is to do three or more long exhalations, because the relaxing parasympathetic wing of the nervous system handles exhaling. So if you inhale for a count of three and then exhale for a count of six or more, in other words, have the exhalation be about double the length of the inhalation, that'll naturally bring the needle of the stress meter down. So that's one. I think another one is to open to positive feelings, because even mild positive feelings like basic well-being or gratitude or compassion in the heart or a sense of tranquility or ease or just even mild happiness, what that does is, I'll spare you the neurological details, but it keeps the gate closed in the neural substrates of what's called working memory. What that means is you can stay focused on one thing, like whatever it is you want to be mindful of. And since the gate's closed, it keeps the barbarians outside the gate, you know, of all the barbarians right. that want to distract you. So happiness is actually a skillful means. And then the last one I would just say is that, in terms of being mindful again, is that it really helps to feel cared about. Because when you feel cared about and you feel safer, it naturally helps a person be less vigilant. You know, if you feel at all anxious, of course, you're going to have sentinels, you know, at the battlements. I guess I'm using my castle metaphor here. But anyway, scanning for threat, you know, looking out there. And that's natural. But as we talked about earlier, you know, with paper tiger paranoia, we're typically more anxious than we truly need to be. There's some exceptions to that. But generally speaking, people are more anxious than they need to be. And so if you help yourself feel safer, that will enable you to be more mindful.
So I want to throw in the mix here really quick, Rick, something that's happening today that's highly stressful for people, and that's everybody's worried about our economic future. How can we cultivate a more Buddha-like brain to help relieve this kind of intense stress that most people are feeling?
Yeah, that's a big question. My very modest answer, this is little me, but is first, one thing I've really come to appreciate is most of the stuff that we read about in the news or we hear about actually does not affect us directly, or it does so in a, let me put it a little differently, it affects us in a very filtered and attenuated way. There are many exceptions to that, obviously, but, you know, part of the problem, I think, with modern media is that we're so aware of so many things that are bad that we can do nothing about. Yet, on the other hand, life is local. You know, basically, if you think about, you get up, you go through your day, who do you deal with? What's the quality of the air you breathe? You know, are the people around you basically nice? Are you ain't dead yet? you know, not to look at the world through rose-colored glasses, but to appreciate that actually you're all right right now, generally speaking. You know, coffee tastes good, donuts are delicious, you know, the sun has risen, flowers are blooming. You know, I basically have enough for me and my family, let's say, and of course many people don't, alas. You know, to the extent, in other words, that if your local circumstance is reasonably good, I think it's important to keep paying attention to that and not get caught up in these huge political factors, including worldwide, that we can't do anything about. That's the first thing I would say.
Staying present, that seems to be like the big theme of the last so many years, because we haven't been. I mean, let's face it, we haven't designed this society to be that way. And certainly when we talk about those big, big themes, you know, we can get lost. Well, folks, we're here with Rick Hansen, Ph.D. We should call him Dr. Rick Hansen. He is the author of Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. And we have a lot more great book, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Bob Amaral.
And I'm John Amaral.
We're part of a family of co-op farmers who grow Sunsweet prunes. And we're really excited to tell you about Supra Fiber, a new fiber supplement that's part of our Sunsweet Naturals line.
It's the only fiber supplement that has our prunes to bring you fiber, the balanced superfruit way.
Award-winning Supra Fiber is setting a new standard for fiber supplements. Supra Fiber uses high-performance, whole food, superfruit to deliver 5 grams of fiber in every serving. And it contains a balance of both soluble and insoluble fiber, essential to receive all the benefits of fiber. Plus, Supra Fiber has no psyllium, a common fiber that can have some harsh side effects. Find Supra Fiber at Super Supplements, Marlene's, The Vitamin Shop, and other natural food stores.
Quite a story, but he forgot to mention the Supra Fiber has a neutral taste, and it easily mixes with your favorite beverage or yogurt.
Good point, Dad. Another reason to try Supra Fiber, fiber the balanced superfruit way.
You're listening to Conscious Talk, radio to live by.
Are you looking for events, products, and people who can help you live a more fulfilling life? New Spirit Journal can help you find what you're looking for. New Spirit Journal is a print and online publication that offers original articles by teachers who want to share their knowledge with you. There are also event listings and advertising from people and organizations that are dedicated to serving others. And our website not only offers the full version of each issue, it also has an online calendar of events, audio interviews with fascinating people, and articles not seen in the print version. You can also sign up for our mailing list where you can receive inspirational emails as well as notices of various events and services being offered. Bring greater positivity and health to your life by visiting newspiritjournal.com. You deserve it. Take the time. Give this gift to yourself. NewSpiritJournal.com.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back to Conscious Talk Radio. That makes a difference. ConsciousTalk.net, that's the website. You know, here, particularly in the Puget Sound area, during the morning drive, you know, you may hear something on the show, you want to write it down, but it's not really safe. Not to worry. Go back to ConsciousTalk.net when you get a chance, because all the shows we do will be there free for you in the archives section. You know, they show up in the archives the next day. If you need it quicker that day, usually a few hours after the show, it's up in the podcast, both of which are free. So please go for it at ConsciousTalk.net. I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels. And be sure and join us on Facebook and like us. We're getting a lot of people that are liking Conscious Talk and joining in the conversation. And also, we are getting comments on our YouTube video. So hop on there and take a look at our videos. You can do that easy. Just go to our homepage at ConsciousTalk.net. And at the top, excuse me, there is an F for Facebook. And right under is our picture. And you click on that, and it is our YouTube video. So join in there. And also pay attention to our events section, because we have a local Vitamin Life here that sells amazing products at discounted prices for all of us. But their newly remodeled facility is putting on a lot of talks, folks, and we really want to support our community that way. Well, joining us is Rick Hansen. We're talking about his book, Buddha's Brain. Buddha's Brain is about the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. And, Rick, let's talk a little bit about relationships in relationship to Buddha's Brain.
Sure. Well, thank you. You know, it relates to the last segment, if you think about it, you know, to maybe dive into this through a beautiful story that I'd heard and I use in the book. It's a Native American story. I think a number of people have heard it. Basically, the version I heard is that toward the end of her life, an elder, a grandmother, was asked how she had become so loved and respected and happy. And she said, this was her answer. She said, well, it's because I know that in my heart are two wolves, and everything depends on which one I feed each day. Boom. And the two wolves are the wolves of love and wolves of hate. And mm-hmm. that story always gives me the shivers. Mm-hmm. I think it's what we see a lot, for example, in Washington, D.C., and also in the world at large. We see the wolf of hate, you know, that's territorial and aggressive and righteous and dogmatic and not empathic and not very kind and really drives for its kind of fear-based, typically, view. And that, of course, leads to all kinds of suffering and harm. So one of the takeaways here, I think, is to appreciate humbly that we have a inner reptile, an inner iguana, an inner rat, and an inner monkey, and an inner caveman, cavewoman, alive and well, locked and loaded, you know, in our brains today. And that if we don't take charge of those ancient impulses, which can be benign, but are very often quite dark and fearful and aggressive. So in the book, I talk about a number of ways that are based in science for basically building up the capacities, building up the neural circuits of empathy, compassion, strength of heart, and kindness and love, and also building up the capacity to be both intimately connected with others while simultaneously maintaining your own autonomy. That's a trick, isn't it? It's
kind of easy
to be autonomous, kind of easy to be intimate, to be connected and also grounded in your own seat. That is really an art. So I talk a lot about how to do that.
And that's the what's so great about the book, and realizing behind all of this that you are able to actually make those shifts in the physiology of your brain that allows this to become easier as you practice. You know, I think so many of the spiritual practices, well, A, they're called practices on purpose because, you know, you need to continually do them, and you do get better as you practice, but it's great to know that there is this, there's scientific support for the fact that, hey, you know, when you do this, you're going to create some new pathways that make it easier, you know, so that it will be easier to go there and to be happier. I mean, I find over time it's much easier for me now to click into those happy feelings, whereas before I really had to dredge them up, you know, in the past. You know, if somebody says you think of a happy thought, does it take you 10 minutes, you know, or can you just go click on there?
Yeah. That's right, and I think that's confidence-inspiring for people to appreciate that if they do practice, you know what I mean? If they do make an effort, they will build muscle in a metaphorical sense inside their own brain. And for me, that's been one of the great benefits of appreciating neuroscience because you can see the results, you know? I'm often struck by the ways in which people will work hard for things that they agree are not very important, you know, whether it's their golf game or, you know, getting better at the latest version of, you know, Microsoft Excel or something like that. But they won't work hard at things that they say are important, like becoming a more skillful parent, mate, or becoming more skillful with their own thoughts, feelings, and reactions.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I've gotten tougher-minded as a therapist over the years.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, it like reminds me of an ad recently I saw, and they kept, you know, saying that, oh, here's the advantage to our product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so, and they took the approach of, well, if you use it, you'll be able to get back to the Angry Birds game, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, well, hello, you know.
You're right.
But I think what we're seeing, Rick, is we're really starting to see, where the mind has been focused as a culture, as a group. I mean, and that, and I think why mindfulness is so up right now is because we're being, I think we're really being asked to make a choice. We're having to make a distinctive choice in our lives now. If we're willing to be more loving to ourselves and practice a lot of what you teach in this book, which is easy and simple, but it takes practice, or if we're going to allow ourselves to be eaten alive, so to speak, by the brain that you just talked about, feels threatened, that gets aggressive, that backs itself in a corner, gets stubborn, and has to have its way at all cost.
Yeah, that's fantastically true. You know, just one example is, I know we're wrapping up soon, if people tune into their own bodies, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's mindfulness of breathing or really sensing into your joints while, you know, you play golf or walk the dog, what that does technically is it builds up the insula, which I talked about previously, does get built up in people who meditate. The nice thing about that is you get a two-for-one benefit because studies have shown as you build up those neural tissues through tuning into your body, you become both more self-aware and more empathic for the feelings of others, which, mm-hmm. you know, goes to the point we made about the two wolves and how to feed the wolf of love, you know. Mm-hmm. So another good thing I'll just leave with people as well related to relationships is to imagine, as it were, a kind of boundary between oneself and others, because paradoxically, as the old line says, you know, fences make for good neighbors. So if you imagine that there's a little picket fence or even just a line in the sand, or that you're a mighty oak tree rooted in the ground with the wind of other people whistling through you but not knocking you off, paradoxically, that sense of being solidly here really enables us to give our heart over to and our attention over to there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really makes sense when you really think about. I was visualizing as you were talking exactly that. It's really about having those very strong boundaries, but within those boundaries, being able to open your heart and not be afraid that someone's going to come in and knock you down or take over. You know, I think that's so important in relationship. I think that's probably one. You're a psychotherapist, Rick. You've probably in relationship counseling. That's probably one of the most important things, especially with women. We don't know, have not learned how to have very good boundaries in our lives and still be open-hearted and loving.
I think that's totally right. My very first book, Penguin published it in 2002, was called Mother Nurture, because it's the only book out still really about the long-term care of a mother's body, mind, and intimate relationships, including mm-hmm. a couple that, you know, comes along. So I'm a fan of women and all of that, and I think you're totally right. You know, one way into that as well that's interesting is to tune more into your own body. You know, be more present mm-hmm. with yourself. Mm-hmm. I think so many people, women in, as a generalization in particular, are out there. Maybe that goes to the point
yes.
about dealing with the world today in the topsy-turvy course. The truth is, all we can do is tend to the causes that we can personally affect. There's so much that we cannot affect. And yet, on the other hand, there's so many causes that we can affect that we often sit on our hands about. And
yeah.
to me, that's crazy. You know, we worry about what we can't control, but we don't do much about what we can control.
Yeah.
And the main thing we can control is inside our own mind. You know, it's important,
that's
obviously,
right.
to intervene in the world, intervene in the body, for sure. But we have usually limited influence there. Plus, if we, compared to the mind, where we usually have much more influence, and also we take the benefits wherever we go, right? So I'm a big believer in getting up off our, you know, tush, and then doing what we can every day to change our mind and therefore our brain for the better.
Practice, 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 folks. It's not rocket science. It's your willingness to do that.
And that's what you'll find in Buddha's Brain, a great book. It's the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. You can go to rickhanson.net to find out more about Rick's work. And we thank him so much for being on the show.
And, folks, that is a wrap for us today. And go out, have a beautiful day. Consider what was talked about on the show and give it to yourself. And we'll see you right here next time on Conscious Talk.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint.
Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away. But when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness, and the key to keeping the cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report on the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
You're listening to Conscious Talk Radio, your roadmap to health and well-being.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com and save up to 50% on supplements, or call VitaminLife.com to order at 866-998-8855.